Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Good morning. My name's Don. I'm one of the pastors here at First Church. It's great to have you here this morning. We continue our series in the Believe series. Hard to believe, it's week number 10, so it's the first part of the series. It's three parts. This is the last week of the first part. We've talked a number of different subjects over the last couple weeks. We've talked about God. We talked about personal God, salvation. We talked about the Bible, your identity in Christ. We talked about church, and there was a guest speaker a few weeks ago that talked about church. Great job he did. We also talked about humanity, and we talked about compassion. I loved the sermon last week on stewardship that John did, because he made us remember that it's not just about putting something in the plate. It's just so much more than just that. This morning, the last topic in this first part is eternity. That's a long subject, but to help introduce, thank you, somebody got it. The first service got it, and they were, you know, this isn't 11:15, this is 9:45 service, in case your clocks are off, and it's daylight saving time, and you know that? Okay. I want to introduce you to this subject by showing you just a short video on eternity. There's been a party being planned for you, and another line in that video I love is unending celebration. It's a great line. So this morning, there's a key idea And that is, I believe that there is a heaven and a hell, and that Jesus will return. He will return to judge all people and will establish his eternal kingdom for us. You know, when we talk about the word eternity, we have to admit that we do throw the word around a lot. We often say things like, yesterday I was watching a particular football game, and thank you. I feel your pain. But anyway, the announcer said it was a couple minutes left to go in the game, and a certain team was winning, and the announcer said, you know, I know we're winning, but the last couple minutes is like an eternity. We just wish the clock would run out. The clock did run out, but something happened before the clock ran out, so that eternity didn't happen the way we wanted it to happen. Maybe you have a work day some days. You think, man, this work day was like an eternity. It just would never, ever end, it seemed. Maybe you have a class at school, middle school, high school, whatever, and you think, gosh, class just goes on and on and on and on. Maybe you've been in a sermon sometime where you thought, oh, yeah, that one you got right away. I have control. We're going to repeat the entire Bible this morning. We're going to start with Genesis 1. I think, to be honest with you, I think Debbie probably feels some days, 16,243 days, that that's an eternity sometimes, okay? Just being honest with you. You know, another thing, there are some husbands here in this church that feel their wives, after church is over, talks for eternity. There really are. I mean, I'm not mentioning any names whatsoever. They sit in this area over here. I had a class one time in seminary, that just went on and on and on, and it was just such a boring class. Also, I'm not sure if you heard about this. It was on the news a little bit. But in Houston, a couple weeks ago, all the pastors had to submit, before they preached their sermons, had to submit their sermons to the city council to make sure there was nothing wrong in the sermon. They didn't want to embarrass anybody. So they had to submit their sermons to the powers that be, the government of Houston. Let me tell you, it will be eternity before I submit a sermon to some government before I preach it. It's not going to happen, okay? It just won't happen. And I speak for John also there. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to submit a sermon to somebody, okay? You know, when we talk about eternity, we also certainly talk about, we think about death, okay? And so there were the three friends sitting around one day and said, you know, we're talking about eternity, how long it's going to be last, how long it's going to last, what it's going to be like. And then they said, well, you know what? If we're talking about eternity, then we're talking about if we're experiencing it, then we're probably dead, which means there's a funeral. And they quickly went to, so what do you want the people to say about you when you die? And the first guy said, oh, that's an easy question. I know what I want people to say about me when I die is I want them to say that I was just a great humanitarian, that I just really, really love people, that I cared about people, that I wanted them to, want everybody to know that my whole life was to be a servant to people. And the one guy said, oh, that's really nice. But he said, you know, that's not me. For me, in my funeral, I want people to say that that man was just a great family man. That one thing we know about him, he always loved his family. That he would do anything for his family. And he did, over and over again. Well, the third guy who brought the question up just sat there very quietly, wasn't saying anything. And the two friends said, wait a minute, what do you want people to say at your funeral? And so he thought for a while, and then he finally said, well, what I want them to say at my funeral is, look, he's moving. By the way, here's a confession, okay? When I was a kid, I know most people think I'm still a kid, which I am, I don't want to grow up. and there's another band, Doesn't Want to Grow Up, right, Kevin? When I was a kid, I really thought, when I thought about heaven, I thought it's going to be a church service. That is going to be wooden pews, and you're going to sit there and hear some boring preacher preach just for eternity. I thought, I don't know if I want to go, you know? Or, you know, it's going to be a prayer meeting, and that's all we're going to do is just sit around and pray for eternity. I don't know if I want to do that. This was real thoughts that I had. I'm not kidding you. Then I thought, oh my gosh, what happens if it's a song fest where there's big hymnals, you know, and there's old songs where there's 16 verses or stanzas, whatever they're called, and you have to sing every one of them. And then some lady who can't play the organ says, let's sing it again. Or she would say, let's sing it again. It would be terrible. But the good news is, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be better than our little tiny feeble minds could ever come up with. It's better than that. And I said first service that if all of us got together and sat around and said, okay, we're going to describe heaven, and we got all of us together and we came up with this great, that's what it's going to be like. Do you realize that it's going to be so much better than that? You know, as Chuck said, look at the world that we live in and all the colors and all the things that we have to look at, and it's just beautiful. If here in this earth that's just for a time being around, how much better will it be in heaven? You know, a number of years ago, I went snorkeling, and the first time I put my head in the water down there in the Caribbean, all the colors, the color of the fish, that, again, most people never see. A minority of people ever see that color that's underneath the Caribbean seas. But God put it there. I mean, if he does that, how much more will he do for heaven, for us? So, one more time, remember, I'm old, I get to repeat myself. That's one of the great things about being old, right? So here it is. How do you say, well, how long is it going to be? How long is this heaven thing going to be? And we know that it's not going to be in the time and space like we think of now, but this is the only way we know of, is what we live here. And so the best way I can describe is we have this one bird, and we have all the sand from Maine to Florida, and we decide that we're going to have this bird take one grain of sand and put it in California. And he's going to come back empty, take one grain of sand, and take it to California. From Maine to Florida. And then we decide at the end, no, we want all the sand on the east coast of the United States. And so this same bird is going to fly one grain of sand from California to the east coast. One grain at a time. That's the best way I can come up with eternity. And the good news is, it's even longer than that. But that's the best way I could do it. So we have some scripture this morning. The first passage is out of the book of John. And John is after Genesis, but it's before Revelation. And this is the first seven verses of John 14. Hear God's word. This is from the Message. Don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me. There is plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And if I'm on my way to get your room ready, I will come back and get you so that you can live where I live. And you already know the road I'm taking. Thomas said, Master, we have no idea where you're going. How do you expect us to know the road? Jesus said, I am the road, also the truth, also the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. You've even seen him. And then later on, earlier in John, in the fifth chapter, just one verse out of verse 24, it says, I am telling you the truth. Those who hear my words and believe in him who sent me have eternal life. They will not be judged, but already passed from death to life. Wow, some great, great verses. And then one other verse, and that's a verse that you all know, probably the most memorized verse in the Bible, out of the third chapter of John. And it says that, this is from today's Living Bible, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." 27 words in that verse. And yet, wow. You realize that those 27 words in John 3:16, if somebody has never darkened the door of the church, never opened the Bible, never spoke God's name in a good way, maybe used God's name in a bad way for his entire life or her entire life, but on their deathbed, they hear that verse and they have a heartfelt confession to God that they accept Jesus Christ, that person with one breath in their body to go is in heaven forever. That's great news. I don't recommend that you do that or anything like that, but if that's the case, that person also is in heaven forever. So you heard all these three different scriptures out of John, out of the 14th chapter, out of the 5th chapter, out of the 3rd chapter. You heard all these words. And you say, of course I believe those words. Do you trust God also? I think there's a difference. There's a next step. Is that, we believe. But do you trust? Trust means that you step out and you let God totally take control of your life. In these verses, we heard that Jesus is coming back. Not maybe, Jesus is coming back, period. And there's one way to God, one way, and that's Jesus. You know, when we think of eternity, we sometimes think of death. And when we think of death, we think, oh, that's distasteful. It's something that we dread. It's something that we want to avoid at all costs. Do you realize that God's view of this whole death thing is pretty much entirely different than our view? Because again, we think avoid it at all costs. And God views death as something to be anticipated. We think of death as a dark, gloomy night. And God sees it as a glorious new day. We think of it as that's the end of the journey, and God views it as the best journey of all time. We have to realize that eternity is the eternal phase that, again, you and I cannot imagine the greatness, the glory that we're going to experience. We can't imagine it. I just came across a story the other day about a woman that was riding on a bus, an older lady, and she was sitting there in a bus, minding her own business, but she was reading her Bible. And a very distinguished man came in the bus and sat down right beside her, and he said, he sort of smiled at her and said, "What are you reading?" And she said, "The Bible." And he smirked and said, "You don't really believe in that book, do you?" And she said, "Of course I do, every word of it." And he laughed again at her. And then he said, "You know, I'm a professor at college. I'm a very learned man, and you just can't believe in this." And she again said, "Yes, I do, every word of it." And then he said, "What about that story of Jonah? There's no way you believe in that story. Something about a whale and him being swallowed by a whale and living there for 3 days and then being spit up on the shore. You can't believe that." And she said, "Yes, I do, every word of it." And then he said, "Prove it." And she realized that she was not going to get anywhere with this man. So she simply said, "Tell you what I'll do. When I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah about it." And then he said, what happens if he's not there? And then she quickly said, then you'll ask him. That's the difference. It's either this or that. I choose this, don't go for that, okay? So we have all these verses, and we're talking about this belief series and all these great topics. The 10th one is eternity. There has to be some sort of application, though. Well, how does it apply to us? What do we do with this? What difference does this belief series or these 10 topics so far, what difference does it make in your life? In how you live, what difference does it make? Now, you said, Don, listen, I believe everything you've said so far. You truly believe and you trust, but what should you be doing? What should you be doing here on earth? While you still have breath and you know about Jesus, you know about God, you know about the Bible, you come to church, what should you be doing? What difference should you make in this world? Let me make it real easy for you. I want to give you three ways, very important ways, and to help you remember, because I know some of you are a little slow and old, all three words begin with the letter L, okay? So if you take notes, take notes. If you're putting them on your smartphone, if you're putting them in your tablet, whatever you're doing with it, but get them into your head because they're important words. So what difference should you make? Number one, the first L word, you need to live. You need to live with hope, because no matter the circumstance that you're in, and I realize in my profession, I hear a lot of sorrow every day. I hear a lot of troubles and anguish, and I realize that there's countless others that I do not know about that are suffering, whether it be a death in a family, a spouse, a job layoff, an accident, cancer, whatever it might be. As Christians, we need to live with hope, no matter the circumstance, because God says, I'm going to be with you. In Hebrews, it says, I will never leave you. Isn't it great that we know that God cannot lie? Because we all lie, but God cannot lie. And when God says, I will never leave you, we can take that to the bank. Then he adds something in that same verse in Hebrews. I will never let you down. He's with us. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, he never lets go of me. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, he never lets go of me. So we need to live with hope. No matter your circumstance, what you're going through, what you will go through tomorrow, because we don't know tomorrow. Fortunately, God's already in tomorrow, but we don't know tomorrow. The Bible doesn't say, you know, come to me and I'm going to give you this perfect life where you have no more problems. It does not work that way. But again, he says, I'll be with you. Whatever circumstance you come across, I'll be with you. So we need to live with hope. We can't just think about it, yeah, yeah, it sounds good. But then the first time something comes, oh God, where are you? You left me down. No, we're going through this circumstance for some reason. What reason? I don't know. I don't know. Why are there children's hospitals? I don't know. Why is there cancer hitting so many people? I don't know. But I know God knows, and I know God's way is perfect, and I don't like his way sometimes, and I don't like his timing sometimes, but I rest in the fact, my hope, my trust, my faith is in him, and that's what we need to be about. So number one, L word, live with hope. Number two, they get harder, by the way. Need to love people. And there are certain people that you just simply don't love. There are certain people in this world that you cannot stand. And that's the person that God wants you to love. He wants you to love everybody. Because, you know what, again, remember I said the other week to you, if I'm honest with you, do I wish there were certain verses that weren't in the Bible? Absolutely, positively. Love your enemy. Why did he have to put that one in there? Okay? Could have skipped over that, but even it's in there. And if we believe the Bible, we take all the Bible or some of the Bible, we take all of it or none of it. We can't middle ground. And so Numbers 2 L word after live with hope is love people. All people. the person that's a pain in your flesh, thank you, that person God wants you to love. Maybe especially he wants you to love. So live with hope, love people. And number three, lead. Lead people to Christ. Yes, I know what you're thinking. That's the minister's job. False. That's the Sunday school teacher's job only. False. That's the Bible study teacher's job only. False. It's your job. It's our job. We need to lead people to Christ. It might not be through any word you say. It might be through your action. It might be how you live your life. But we need to lead people to Jesus Christ. I told you before, I'm going to tell you today, and next time I'm up here, I'll probably say it again, you're the only Bible that some people will ever read. You need to take that responsibility on your shoulders because it is T-R-U-E. Very, very few of us are going to be famous, and there are countless thousands, millions of people throughout the history of the world that nobody knew about, but they lived this life that we're talking about this morning. And I've told you many times, my grandmother, who nobody knew, who never was out of the state of Pennsylvania, never drove a car, never rode a bicycle, was one of those people, you know. The reason I stand here today is because of my grandmother. That's the only reason, is because she not only just talked about God, but she lived the Bible. That's what we need to be about, because people are watching. And if you don't think especially kids are watching you every day, and they want to see what you do. And your coworkers who know that you go to church want to see how you act when, quote, the preacher's not around. How do you act then? So we need to live with hope. We need to love people, and we need to lead people to Jesus Christ. It's your job. Maybe the reason you're on this earth is because there's one person that you're going to lead to Christ, and that's it. Hey, if that's a job, come on, let's do it. Maybe that's your job. Maybe that's what God has for you. I don't know. Again, God knows. But be open to that. Live, love, lead. Okay, we're talking about eternity. Where are we going to spend it? What is the answer to the 6-foot hole? One word, Jesus. That's the answer to the 6-foot hole, is Jesus. Friends, death is certain. Understood? Death is certain. Judgment is reality. And salvation is guaranteed, if you have Jesus. So here's the most important question of the day. 1 second after you're dead, where are you? 1 second after you're dead, where are you? Let me show you a 1-minute video. Send in your RSVP. That's what we need to ask about. The last verse that I want to talk to you this morning about is, for me, the entire Bible in one verse. I've told you before, if you memorize no verses in the Bible, which we all should, but if you memorize no verses in the Bible, memorize this verse, Romans 6:23. This is the entire Bible in one verse. Okay? If we have to boil it down to one verse, this is it. Don't miss this one. For the wages sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Get that verse down. Memorize that verse. That's the entire Bible. That's it. Don't miss it. So what do we do here? You say, okay, I've never done this. I never accepted Christ. It's as simple as A, B, C. Number A, letter A, admit that you're a sinner. Number B, number two, B, believe. Believe in Jesus Christ. And three is C, confess. God, I've made so many mistakes. I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. Come into my life. A, B, C, admit, believe, confess. That's where we're at here today. It's your choice. I am so thankful that we're not robots, that God does not force us, okay? Jesus is our example. Throughout the New Testament, never do you see him forcing, threatening anybody into the kingdom. What you see him do over and over and over again is loving people into the kingdom. That's what we need to be about. If you've never made that commitment to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's a good day to do that. Today's a good day to do that. We do not know how many days we have. Today could be our last day. We don't know. But to be able to be with God in eternity, in heaven, forever and ever, with joy that we cannot imagine, you need to make this one decision. And that is to accept him as your Lord and Savior. To allow him to be in total, total control of your life. That's what he wants. He wants to be with you for eternity. He created you. He loves you. You're his child. But he will not force you. If you've never made that decision, today's a good day to do that as we speak. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the fact that because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross, that all of our sins, those that we did yesterday, those sins that we will commit today, and those sins that we will commit tomorrow are forgiven because of one sacrifice, one perfect sacrifice. Father, we humbly say thank you. Father, I pray for two things. One is for the people here to realize that they're responsible for somebody around them, a coworker, a family member, a friend, that they're looking to them to open up, to share the love of Christ with them. And number two, Father, I pray for that person that does not know you, that they realize today that today's a day that they can have eternity secure because of what Jesus did and when we accept him as Lord and Savior. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do and pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, christ.com.